This is the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. This is episode 279, and the Cardinals are 2-0, 30-15 win over the Washington football team. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site. Of course, all about the Arizona Cardinals. And Seth Cox is on the line, as always, as we talk about what the Cardinals have done. At Seth Cox from AvengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site. And Seth, we're in a weird position in the fact that the Cardinals are 2-0 and have a schedule looking ahead that looks pretty good. We haven't been like this since 2015. It's very weird to feel that way.
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's not, like you said, it's not something that we've had the last couple of years. So it's just, you know, it's just kind of getting back used to having a team that's actually good and fun to watch. And, you know, all of that is different right now. But I think the biggest thing is, and you know, I tweeted about it and, you know, you've tweeted about it. It's just fun to watch the team again. And that's a huge difference for fans. Obviously the winning is good. And winning and being good typically make you fun to watch. But this team right now is, you know, appointment viewing. And that's, you know, that hasn't been the case since 2015. That, you know, before that it was 2010. I mean, you're talking about something that happens basically once every 5 years as Cardinals fans. And, you know, let's hope that it continues and grows and then is sustainable for the long run, because it's a lot better and more enjoyable to cover this than it was 2019 and 2018. So
absolutely. And the part that's really fun for well, even from our perspective, but for fans especially, is the fact that we're getting so much, that the Cardinals are getting so much attention nationally. I mean, we're even seeing things like Vegas move their lines significantly. I mean, the fact that the Cardinals were, you know, 6.5-point favorites last week, going like opening the week, they opened at 6.5 this week, and it's moved a little bit since Kenny Golladay is going to be healthy. But even like you look at Super Bowl odds. In the offseason, they were one of the longest shots in the league at 50-1. I think there was 9 teams with longer odds. Now there are 7 teams with shorter odds. They have gone from plus to 50-1 to, after their season opening win over the 49ers, they went to 30-1. And now after their week 2 win, they're even down to 20-1. So this Cardinals team is starting to get a little bit of attention. And all that's left now is just to hope that the raised expectations, as we've seen, you know, from pretty much every single team in Arizona sports history, the second an ounce of expectation is heaped upon the team, they sort of fall apart. But we're gonna enjoy this show. It's a lot more fun to talk about a Cardinals team that is exciting. But we're gonna talk about and react to their win over Washington over the weekend. And kind of after that, talk about Kyler Murray in particular, because he is becoming something special. We'll talk about a surprisingly good defense, potentially what the offense could look like. Just how good could it be? Because it's been productive and it isn't anywhere near what it feels like it should be in sync. We'll talk about studs and duds, the players who are standing out, the ones who are maybe underperforming through the first 2 weeks of the season, and then look ahead to the Cardinals' Week 3 matchup against the Detroit Lions at home, a team that is in trouble. So hopefully the Cardinals can take advantage of that. Let's kick things off with the talk of the win. What were some of your initial takeaways and reactions from their win over Washington, Seth?
I think the first thing is you saw what good teams are supposed to do to bad teams. And typically Arizona Cardinals fans were on the other side of that. And we're used to seeing, you know, the Cardinals kind of playing bad football. And so to see this team come out and I mean, there were some struggles early in the game, turnovers, sloppy play, misplay. But, I mean, to go into the half up 20 to nothing is, I mean, that's basically what you wanted to do to a team, is not give them any hope, kind of bury them early in kind of give yourself a chance to, I don't want to say coast towards the end, but obviously, you know, be able to work on some things. And I thought that was something that was a bit misconstrued through the media, because this isn't a team that has, you know, been able to do that very often. I saw questions about fourth down calls. I saw questions about play calling and things that they were doing in certain situations. And, you know, obviously as a fan, you want to see a complete blowout. You want to see a game where they dominate from the first whistle to the final whistle and all of that. That's always kind of the goal. But you also have to remember that Cliff Kingsbury has coached 18 games. Kyler Murray has played in 18 games. They're still finding their way in the NFL. So there are times when they're going to want to take advantage of an opportunity. And I think that we saw that this week, where you saw the fourth down play by Chris Streveler, and it wasn't a simple dive. I mean, they could have done the easy thing. It was fourth and less than a yard. Just let Streveler run up the middle and find, you know, let him take the quarterback sneak and find the area and push forward. He would have gotten a first down. But they ran a speed option to the right with Kyler Murray as the running back and pitched it to Christian Kirk on a reverse. If anything, I thought Kirk kind of looked slow coming around the edge, because it seemed like he had a lot of daylight coming out of there. And you know, he only gained 4 yards on the play. But that's the type of stuff that good teams are able to do to put on film and then later in the year come back and use that in a big time situation and throw a team off. And that's just, again, that's just not something that we've seen, even with Bruce Arians. I mean, you got to remember, 2013 was a bit of a slog the first 8 games, where they were 4-4. You know, 2014, obviously, after the Carson Palmer injury, you're talking about very bad offensive football. And then it was 2015, and it was basically year 3 for most of these guys in the system. There wasn't really much to work on. They had it down to a science. This is, again, 18 games in, and so you're seeing a coach and a quarterback kind of finding their rhythm and finding their way in this league at the same time and doing it together. And I think that's why you may have only seen a 30-15 game, because there were missed throws. There were probably poor decisions made by the play caller. But at the same time, they were able to work on things. They were able to get, you know, Andy Isabella more involved in the offense, Christian Kirk more involved in the offense. I mean, heck, Dan Arnold played 56 snaps. You know, Darrell Daniels played 43 snaps. If, you know, however long Max Williams is out, which is at least another 2 weeks, they're going to have to rely on Daniels to play a little more. So they were just able to do a little more stuff. And so I thought overall, that's, you know, what you wanted from a team that's, you know, won what, 8 games the last 2 seasons.
Exactly. Now for me, I love the comments that the Cardinals shared via social media that Cliff Kingsbury said post game. It was the confidence they came in that game. They said basically the team felt like there was no way they were losing that game, and yet after the game they still weren't satisfied. And that's kind of how I felt, because from start to finish. Now, there was never any doubt. Once the Cardinals got that first score, the way they played the first half, it led no doubt. We've seen Cardinals TV, even the really good 2015 Cardinals teams, they let every single team back in the game. Every single one. It was the formula that they followed for the second half of their season in 2015. It was they would build a lead. They would come out quickly. They'd build a lead. They'd let the other team get back in it, either take the lead or get close to it, and then they make plays late. This year, I mean, granted, it was a bad Washington team, and I wondered how good. I mean, that is a physical defensive line, and they're physical, and they're strong, and they're talented. But I did not think the Cardinals were going to have anywhere near the issues that the Philadelphia Eagles did because of the fact that they were playing with, you know, duct tape and an old man and chicken wire on the offensive line with their top players all injured. And that was a recipe for disaster. And so I never felt that way. And especially they came out and they got that stop in the first drive. They go score a touchdown. They get more stops. They got a little hairy with the turnover. But even when they made the mistake, they recovered. They made a play on special teams and they got the momentum back, and they basically never really left the momentum get away from it. The game was never in doubt. And so it was, I mean, we see teams do this all the time. You get a big lead and then it gets a little interesting, but it's not really interesting. So they got within 12 points. For context, they got within 12 points. And then they cacked on a field goal at the end. So it was never in doubt. And there were so many good things. And there wasn't everything to be happy about. So defensively, especially in the first half, they continued to do what they did against San Francisco. And that was get off the field. Kyler Murray was fantastic with his feet again. You even got the long ball in the game with the deep throws to Isabella and to Christian Kirk. You got pass rushing, you got sack production from all over the place. There was just, it was, especially in the setting where you have it, especially with the expectations, they had a big win against San Francisco, and they didn't have a letdown against what we perceived as a lesser opponent. And yeah, that was big, because that's what we needed to see this week to know, with the stretch coming up, what type of team are the Cardinals?
Right, and that's kind of, you know, the reality of watching football for so long is you always are waiting to see, you know, the other shoe to drop, so to speak. And so to have a team come out, play well, really, I mean, there were only a few real miscues. The Kyler Murray interception, and then the one defensive series. I know they gave up two scores, but the one defensive series, they looked, I don't want to say checked out, but they looked, you know, like, all right, we're playing not to get injured at this point. We're up so much. But overall, I mean, like you said, that's how a good team handles a bad team. And I mean, you and I would, again, love to cover a team that has the effectiveness of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Ravens, but, and the Chiefs. And even the Chiefs took, they were taken overtime.
Right. But I mean, it is the NFL. We have to understand that these guys are getting paid as well. And as you said, this Washington defense is incredibly talented, especially along the front. And so to come out and really, I mean, really dominate again along the lines of scrimmage was, I thought, pretty impressive, you know, for a team, again, that last year was just okay.
Yeah. Coming up next on the Rise of Syria podcast, the best star of college talk on the web. Let's move on and talk about specifically the play of our quarterback, Kyler Murray. What is there that we've got to love, and what does he still have to work on? That's coming up next on Rise of Syria. We're back on the Rise of Syria podcast, the best star of college talk on the web. We've got 2 weeks of Kyler Murray, and he is in his year two. And while perhaps the passing production in terms of scoring isn't there yet, but oh my goodness, Kyler Murray is a video game, is he not?
Yeah, and you know, it's been fun to watch, and it seems like the comfort level is getting there, or is there in terms of him running the ball. You know, something that we wondered when it would kind of take off and how it would look. And I think, you know, we're kind of seeing it now, and him running the ball so effectively opened up the game for Kenyon Drake, who, I mean, that was yeoman's work that Drake did, 20 carries, 86 yards. I mean, over 4 yards a carry. But you had Kyler Murray that only carried, I mean, it didn't seem like more than 8 carries, but only 8 carries the entire game, finishing with 67 yards. He has over 150 yards rushing on the season. And he's just become exactly what we had talked about kind of in the off season about what we wanted to see. The passing game, you know, it's interesting because I think the efficiency is what we're missing more than anything. And I don't mean in terms of, you know, completion percentage, because that's been really high. I think overall what we're expecting or hoping to see a little more of is more yards in chunk plays.
Yes.
And so that's been the, okay, well, they're struggling. And then I think the other thing is, you know, he's only thrown for 2 touchdowns. So that gets everybody in a bit of a huff, because, you know, his 3 rushing touchdowns, those count, but they're not what quarterbacks are supposed to do, right? Like that's not what quarterbacks do.
Then you see Russell Wilson throwing 9 touchdown passes in the first 2 weeks, and you're like, but that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so 5 total touchdowns is fantastic. And the funny thing is if you took his, let's just, you know, say you just took 125 of those rushing yards and put him passing, and so he's, you know, just under 650, and you took all 3 rushing touchdowns and put him as passing touchdowns, and so he has 5 passing touchdowns to 2 interceptions. I think everybody, people are more apt to say, oh my gosh, look at the jump, the leap he's making. But because, you know, that 158 yards is on the ground and 3 of the touchdowns are rushing, people are going, oh, well, he's just, you know, he's not quite there as a passer. And maybe he's not. I mean, he's only completing 67% of his passes, which is, you know, great, but only. You know, and so I think people, and he's on pace for just under 2,000 or 4,000 yards passing. You know, he's basically doing what everybody wants him to do in terms of production and total touchdowns with just not doing it in the way we're really used to seeing.
Right. But that's the one thing, if there's one takeaway, is that between the 2 interceptions that he's had, they were, well, the one against San Francisco was a bad throw. Well, you had the tip, and then at least the initial look, that was a poor decision that he made when he threw that ball over the middle and got picked off by Washington. However, you know, DeAndre Hopkins kind of put that on him. And if this were Bruce Arians, we probably would have heard about it, that Hopkins ran the wrong route, which put the safety in position to make that play. But it actually looked like that Kyler, with a little bit of pressure in his face, just – it was one of those – if I had to think about it, it was a Carson Palmer, I know I can make this throw, so I'm going to try and do it anyway. It's like, I'm pretty sure, like, it might get picked off. Carson Palmer would do those all the time. It's like – As good a quarterback as he was, he made some really boneheaded throws, and it was because, yeah, I can make that throw. It's it's got that little window, but I'll make it. And that was kind of the case. I think he was just wishing or hoping that the bad thing wouldn't happen. I think part of the issues in the passing efficiency in terms of chunk has been schemed. Kyler is really generally really careful about not turning over the ball. So he doesn't try to make super high risk throws. And with the offense that they have, they're going to have stuff underneath all the time. The issue, it's not so much about Murray, it's that they're just not getting, outside of Hopkins, they're not getting a whole bunch of yards after the catch. We haven't seen Christian Kirk do what we believe Christian Kirk will be able to do. Partly, he just hasn't had the volume yet. Andy Isabella had a minor impact. Heck, we've only gotten, and remember what we said about Dan Arnold? He's on pace for 32 catches so far this season. And so it just, and I guess we're going to talk about this a little more. It's like they're producing yards and points and no way look fully in sync offensively. The offense is kind of Kyler Murray. The running game outside of Kyler Murray has been The passing game overall has been, yeah. But then you look at his numbers and you say, you know, how many quarterbacks have had 500 passing yards and over 100 rushing yards, over 150 rushing yards through two games? Just Kyler. That's it. No one else ever. So I think we're just nitpicking. but at the same time, there's like, you see the star that he's becoming and you want more. And you see a guy like Russell Wilson, who's developed over years, and just how absolutely absurd he is as a quarterback. And you get greedy. I think that's what it is. We're getting greedy because we basically expect him to be like Patrick Mahomes, and he's like, that's super unfair because Patrick Mahomes is just unreal, but he's every bit as good in his setting.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. I think that's a valid point, is that, I mean, people look at it and say, well, he played so much more than Patrick Mahomes, obviously, in year one. You know, where's the same type of leap? But, again, it comes back to a lot of different intangibles. One, there's only one Patrick Mahomes. You know, if you want to look at comparisons through 2 weeks, you know, look at what Lamar Jackson did against the Arizona Cardinals last year, you know, in his game two of, you know, the season, he had 272 yards. Okay, that's basically the same. He had two passing touchdowns, but he had 16 carries for 120 rushing yards. So, you know, you're getting similar production, and it's just coming in a different way. You know, Lamar only threw for 3,100 yards last year. And now he threw for 36 touchdowns, which is, you know, a boatload. But he also had six games with one or fewer touchdowns last year. So, I mean, a third of his games, or more than a third of his games, he only threw one touchdown or less. So, I mean, that doesn't mean that Kyler's only going to throw 16 touchdowns or 20 touchdowns. At the same time, maybe he doesn't throw 36 touchdowns in his second year. By the way, I'm pretty sure that would be an Arizona Cardinals record, because I think 35 is the record right now.
Carson Palmer's 35 in 2015 is the record.
So, I mean, let's be fair. If he hits 30 or passing touchdowns, and, you know, he's obviously not going to finish with 20 rushing touchdowns, but if he finishes with 12, are we really going to complain about 42 total touchdowns on the season with over 3,500 yards? And I'm not going to say he's going to get 1,000 yards rushing, because that's a whole lot of rushing yards. So,
the different teams in the league are going to start figuring something out, and that's when the passing game will open up.
Right, but I mean, at this point, if you have 4,500 total yards and 40 total touchdowns,
that's amazing.
Right, does it matter if it's 4,200 or 4,300 passing yards and 200 rushing yards? Or 3,600 passing yards and 900 rushing yards? I mean, literally, doesn't make a difference. No. Like, all that means is that your team was super productive. But again, I go back to my Josh Rosen argument from, you know, before they drafted Kyler. Josh Rosen looks and plays like what everybody expects. Everybody expects, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. That's what they look and expect for in a franchise quarterback. And the game has evolved and the game has changed. And now you're seeing a lot more, you know, what we call it 11 on 11 football, where the quarterback is not just a guy that drops back to throw. He's a guy that makes plays and forces the defense to account for him. And like you said, as defenses begin to account more for Kyler's legs, it's just going to open more things up for his arms, like it did for Lamar Jackson. And so, you know, whether it's Lamar, Russell Wilson, whoever you want to look at, you know, in their second year, you don't look at, well, you know, you don't look at it and go, well, Lamar was a third round pick, so, you know, we should expect more from Kyler. No, Russell Wilson was a third round pick. We should expect more. It's like, no, you should be grateful that you have a quarterback that's on the same trajectory as a guy that's a surefire Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, Russell Wilson's second season, he only threw for just over 3,300 yards, and he didn't even have 600 yards rushing. And I feel like that's still a really good second season. 26 touchdowns, one rushing touchdown. And we're talking about if not even hitting 4,000 total yards and less than 35 total touchdowns. And I feel like people would be like, oh, that's not – that wasn't a good season from Kyler. And that's – so I think you're right. Like, the video game numbers of Lamar and Patrick and now Russell – have sped up the expectations as opposed to enjoying watching a guy blossom in front of you.
Well, and the fact that he is making players around him better, which is he's exceeding really expectation. That's which kind of amazing. Coming up next on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on and talk about the defense, which has been surprisingly good so far in two games. That's coming next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Time to talk about that defense, because guess what? After all the problems they had last season about, you know, firing Vance Joseph through two games, the Cardinals have one of the best defensive units in the NFL. They come against a 49ers team that was one of the best offenses a year ago, and against a Washington team that was awful in their season opener. But you've gotten not just one sample size. It wasn't just one game, fluky week one game, like we've seen from other bad teams that look good. But now they're still getting some consistency. I mean, pass rush, they've got 7 sacks. They're up there at near the top of the league in sacks. And nobody has more than one. Their third down defense has been incredible. And if you take out the coasting of the second half, they were, what was it? I can't remember what they had through the first half, but it was something crazy that as it is, they're through two games, they're only allowing 26% of third downs to be converted. And that was one, I believe they were the worst in third down defense a year ago, and I think it was near 50%. They've cut that nearly in half. Covering tight ends doesn't seem to be a problem anymore. But they're getting contributions from all over the place. The guys that they added up front, Devon Kennard, Jordan Phillips, Devondre Campbell, they're all paying dividends. Oh, and then don't even forget Angelo Blackson as well.
Yeah, and it's been interesting to see how they've deployed the defense. I think that's kind of the first way to look at it is you've got obviously the linebackers, and we've talked about that quite a bit with Devondre Campbell and Jordan Hicks, they're going to be on the field a lot. I know that we aren't really expecting a whole heck of a lot from Isaiah Simmons early in the season with no preseason. And to be fair, the rookies this season have been just god-awful all around the NFL, not just in Arizona. So I want people to understand that. However, I think that the seven snaps was probably a shock to a lot of people, but I think that speaks to what we're seeing from guys like Hassan Reddick, who played 29 snaps. Again, we talked about this last week. I think their initial vision for Simmons was what they're doing with Hassan Reddick. And so, you know, it's tough to understand, but at the same time, you're getting high levels of production from Hassan. So do you really want to complain about it at this point?
Right. And it turns out that from what I saw in camp compared to what we're doing now, it appears that they're only deploying Simmons in some specific base packages. And it appears that they're trying to make sure he starts on the field. I think that part of that is they believe he's talented enough to start. They've started him in both games. They make sure he's on the field for that. But they basically run a three, like it's essentially a 4-3 base, because they go with two down linemen, they're two outside backers, and then three inside backers. And depending on who you're playing, you're not going to use that a whole bunch. The Redskins played of their 66 snaps, they were in nickel in 52 of them. And that's why we saw Dre Kirkpatrick's playing time go way up. Against San Francisco, he only played 20 snaps, but that's because San Francisco stays in 21 most of the game. But you go to nickel, and you're not taking Devondre Campbell off the field. He did take off a play or two. I don't remember where.
I think he took off, one play.
And Jordan Hicks doesn't come off the field unless he got hurt, and he came off for five snaps on Sunday's game for the first time in his Cardinals career. And so that just leaves you with no playing time for that particular game for Simmons.
Well, and you look at it, I mean, what Vance has done is really reward performance. And I think that's a fair thing. I get, and you and I think both agree that we'd love to see the continued development of Zach Allen and obviously Isaiah Simmons. And then, you know, Deontay Thompson, you'd love to see that. But the reality is you're getting high level production from Angelo Blackson. Hassan Reddick is in the best stretch of football in his entire career. Is downgrading in the immediate when you're winning football games and you have the number two scoring defense in the NFL and you, I believe, are the eighth overall defense in defensive DVOA on Football Outsiders. I mean, so the metrics like what they're doing. The raw stats like what they're doing. You and I completely understand the, hey, let's get Isaiah Simmons some more snaps. But I just don't know if that is completely worth it, especially when, and I hate saying this because you and I are such huge fans of the Cardinals, but when your organization is that of a losing organization, can you really afford to spend 5-6 weeks of winnable games developing a rookie who, let's just say, he turns out to be a very good player, but can you afford to lose, you know, 3 or 4 of those games, be 2-4, you know, going into the Seattle game just because you wanted to develop Isaiah Simmons? I mean, is it really worth that much? And I'd say no. I mean, you need to establish a winning culture, and guys like Simmons and Zach Allen and, you know, Deontay Thompson, they'll begin to reap the rewards of that just as much because they'll be in a winning system and, you know, the expectation level and for the play of the players will raise just that much. So I think the way that Vance has done it through two games, and, you know, we both agree. I mean, you talk about, DVOA. When it comes to offensive DVOA, the Washington football team are the third worst in the NFL. So, you know, they're not great, but you can only play the teams in front of you. And the fact that, you know, DVOA tries to normalize for your opponent and the Cardinals are top 10. And that was something we talked about. If the Cardinals were going to compete for a playoff team, we didn't say top 10, we said top 15. So they've started off in the right direction. And I think that's way more important than anything else at this juncture.
Coming next on the Rise Up Here at Podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's change gears and talk about the offense. It hasn't been pretty all the time. It's sure been fun, but they're nowhere near what they could be. How good could this offense be? That's coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. Back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. The offense, 24 points and 30 points. That means an average of 27 points, which is something pretty dang good through two games. But if you look at it, the passing game doesn't look completely in sync, and the running game hasn't been super, like, if you're talking running backs, the traditional running game hasn't been great. You look at the numbers that they're producing, and you're saying, wait a minute, and Cliff Kingsbury said, we haven't even hit our stride, and you watch this team offensively, and you know it can be better. How good do you think this team has the potential to be offensively?
You know, I was talking with Kyle Posey of Niners Nation, and Kyle's one of the brighter football minds that I know personally. And I mean, we talk daily. And that was kind of what we were talking about in our kind of text conversation about the game and the fact that you're looking at a guy in Kyler that is missing some plays. You know, he's missed some throws. I think we would all agree he that interception, DeAndre Hopkins fell on the sword, but that was a bad decision. At the same time, he's making plays that other guys can't make. And he's close to doing things that nobody else can do. And so this is super hyperbole. So I want everybody to understand that I'm not saying it to just be flippant, but he's doing similar things to what Patrick Mahomes does and what Lamar Jackson does. You know, he moves like Lamar and is able to avoid sacks and create secondary chances like Lamar. And he makes throws that really only guys like Mahomes and Rodgers have any business making. The one that really stands out, and I think, you know, I'm not going to say he'll get there because that's just unfair, but that if he gets there, it's going to be kind of it'll be scary to see where it takes him. And this offense is there was a play, I believe it was in the fourth quarter, where Kyler made everybody miss and was going to take off and run in the pocket, you know, from inside the pocket. And Chase Edmonds snuck out down the seam and was open with a safety in front of him. And Kyler basically threw it off of one leg like he was turning a double play. And it was just it was literally a yard too far. If he puts any air under it whatsoever, it is a touchdown. It's probably one of the most spectacular plays that you'll ever see a quarterback make because he was running full speed to go take off, and then he saw Chase bleed out the seam and stopped on a dime and made a throw off of an awful base and almost completed. And I think that's kind of my metaphor for this offense, is that they are so close to being spectacular that them being better than average is disappointing, and that's just funny
it
to
feels that
say.
Way, right? They put up 30 points, and you feel unsatisfied.
Well, I mean, you look at it right now; they're sixth in yards in the NFL. They're 12th in scoring. I mean, both great. Sixth in first downs. I mean, that's crazy. The Cardinals are sixth in first downs. You know, they're third in rushing attempts, fifth in rushing yards, eighth in rushing yards per carry. Their time of possession is much better. It's just, you know, their scoring percentage is up. They're in the top half of the league at 14 now. You're just waiting for them to take that next step and become like we talked about earlier, the Ravens or the Chiefs, where they're a juggernaut. Every time that you get the ball, you're going, here they go. And let's throw the Seahawks in there. I mean, the Seahawks have been fantastic this season, so I think it's only fair.
And well, here's the thing. The next 3 weeks, we could see it in at least one of these games, because the defenses of the Lions, Panthers, and Jets, ooh, they are not good.
No, and that's the thing is, you know, we've talked about how good the running game has been. Think about it. They're averaging 5 yards per carry. They have 340 total rushing yards in two games. Over, you know, they're averaging 170 yards per game. And we're like, man, Kenyon Drake just does not look like he's got on track yet. And so I just – it's that's what the crazy thing to me is, that they're producing so – well, and yet we're saying it's not enough. They can do more. And I think that's what is crazy to me, is because you and I would both agree that they have not fired on all cylinders yet. I mean, they started slow in the San Francisco game. They finished slow in the Washington game. They haven't put two halves together. You know, they really haven't put a good third quarter on the field yet this season. And you figure if they can do that, if they can come out of halftime and get one scoring drive and kind of open things up, that just think how much better they'll be. And so that's that's just what I think is so crazy to me about this offense and where they could get to. And like you said, the next 3 weeks, man, oh, man. I mean, Detroit's defense is really, really bad.
Really bad.
Really, like, really bad.
If you're looking for a Kenyon Drake game, this might be the one.
Yeah, I mean, they're the second worst defense in the NFL. Then the Cardinals get the fourth worst defense. And then the New York Giants defense. You know, I'll give the Giants a little credit. It's going to be on
the Jets.
So the Jets, that's a – never mind. Their defense is awful, too.
Like, they gave up 31 points to the 49ers when they had Nick Mullins a quarterback.
Right. So, I mean, you're setting yourself up. And, this is what you and I talked about before the season. The first five games were going to define their success, because that just allows them – I mean, think about it. If they can start 5-0, that just allows them to go under 500 the rest of the season – and still win 10 games. And the way the NFC is, making the playoffs. Because right now, obviously, it's incredibly early. We're two games in. But right now, you know, the NFC East is terrible. They're only going to get one team. The NFC North, I'm sorry, I just don't buy Chicago right now. I mean, they were gifted an injured Saquon Barkley and the Lions.
And they played the Lions.
Yeah. And then the South, I mean, New Orleans might be cooked, man. So you just kind of look at it. You could be talking about the three division winners from, you know, the other three divisions, and then the four NFC West teams. And I know that's crazy and asinine to even think about.
And it's statistically really tough to do because –
well, they basically have to split with one another.
I mean,
they all have to go 3-3 in the division. But, you know, this is about the offense, and that's the thing, is we're talking about a team that hasn't hit its stride offensively yet. So their offense is like let's just say between yards and points, they're around, you know, 12 to 14 in the NFL. Their defense is top 10. No, I don't think anybody saw that coming. Like,
nope.
if it was flipped, everybody would be like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so this offense has so much more to give. And I'm excited because I think it's going to happen, you know, over the next 3 weeks.
And the firepower. So, honestly, especially because you look, you've got three bad teams, and then you've got a Cowboys team. That could be a super, super, super fun Monday night game because Dallas is tough offensively, and they haven't really stopped anybody yet. So, yeah. So that's gonna be super exciting to watch, and as if we keep seeing the Cardinals progress, it's gonna gain momentum, and we saw how things went, you know, in 2014 when they started 9-1, and then things fell apart because of the Carson Palmer injury. But that team was just, you knew they were gonna win, and then 2015 you felt they were gonna win. It's gonna build that, and honestly, with your young quarterback who wants to win, and he's a winner. Like, there's no doubting Kyler Murray is a winner. He wants to win. That's if he were to languish on a team that struggled for 2 to 3 years, you would see a very unhappy Kyler Murray. He does not know how to lose. He didn't do it in high school. He barely did it in college. He did it last year, and he was patient about it, but he's a guy who goes out in the field and expects to win every week, and so it's super special to see what's coming up. Coming up next on the Rise of Secret Podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the Levis. Move on through 2 weeks of the season. Who are our studs? I think we know who one is, and who are the maybe some duds so far through 2 weeks for the Cardinals? That's coming up next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red Podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web, and it's especially as productive as the offense has been, as good as the defense has been, it seems almost unfair to say that there are any duds. There's, as we look at it, there's barely any duds, in my opinion, when you look at how things have gone thus far. Barely. There's maybe dud-ish, but not dud. Like, Zane Gonzalez was a dud in week one. I wouldn't call him that now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at the, you know, quote unquote duds right now, you look at guys that just aren't living up to expectations. So I think like a dud would be like a Christian Kirk. And you know, you kind of talked about it. It's just, you haven't seen the overall production that we were hoping to see from him, but it's not like he's playing badly. It's just
right. And he had that fantastic catch.
Right. And so, you know, I think Kirk being fourth on the team in receiving is a bit of a dud. But again, it's not a huge deal. I think you're slightly dud-ish on Kenyon Drake, just slightly. You know, he's averaging over 4 yards a carry, which is really all you want from your running back. But we, you know, with the 5 yards per carry last year, you're just expecting a little more. You know,
I don't want to say it yet, but Patrick Peterson hasn't been good. And then the second half, and I know part of that was simply they schemed differently in the second half to try to prevent Terry McLaurin from really damaging things. He hasn't been as good as I wanted, but at the same time, he hasn't been tested. San Francisco, although he almost,
yeah, he almost.
Oh my gosh, that was almost bad against week one. And so he hasn't been great, but he's definitely been good enough. He was. I think he's not a stud, but I'm not prepared to necessarily call him a dud. I guess if the harshest thing we could do is call Isaiah Simmons a dud so far, just because he's had minimal impact, and that's too unfair considering this year in particular.
Right.
But everyone talked, you were expecting greatness early on.
Well, and I think, you know, I think you look at it, the only rookie that's really playing at all is Rashard Lawrence.
Yep.
I mean, he's basically your backup nose tackle right now, and he's getting, you know, 25% of snaps, if that. So, so he's had 25% of snaps in two games. I mean, it's not unexpected to me. We talked about it, that this offseason was going to be one that was just different from any other in our kind of history of covering the team and reporting on the team. So, you know, I look at that and I would agree. He's been a dud in terms of what we were hoping, but reality is, you know, he hasn't been completely useless. I think you can sort of maybe say that Chandler Jones has not been fantastic thus far. He's been quiet. How's that sound? Like,
yeah, he had the one sack in week one. He had four hits in week two. But at the same time, they're getting pressure from all over the place, and so he's not the only one doing anything.
Right, exactly. And, you know, he does lead the team in QB hits, like you said, six. He's only got one tackle for loss and only two tackles combined in the two games and then the one sack. So, but again, we're kind of picking nits at this point to
right.
to discuss it.
But studs, plenty of studs. Obviously, Kyler, DeAndre Hopkins, stud. Oh, I think we have to mention this because of the analytics, and that would be the pass blocking metrics on according to Pro Football Focus. I'm not going to pretend that when it comes to offensive line evaluation, I'm not good. I'm kind of useless for that. But the metrics say J.R. Sweezy's been awful. I haven't been able to tell. I'm not one to focus on the offensive line much when I'm watching games. But so if there's one thing that the analytics say is that J.R. Sweezy's been bad.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because I think it's one of those situations where it's not that he's been anything more than passable. And that's really all you need from this group. So, you know, you just kind of look at it and I guess you would look at it and say, no, he hasn't done as much as you would hope, but whatever. I think overall we've all kind of been impressed by the offensive line because you look at it and you go, okay, this is better than we expected. I mean, they've only given up five sacks in two games and they probably went up against the two best pass rushing, you know, units in the NFL. So I just think you look at the overall success of the team and you're okay with it more than maybe the other side.
And then on defensively, I look at the two main studs they have to, I mean, Devondre Campbell, an absolute revelation. He was a perfect fit. And which, now, I'll tell you, the way the Cardinals talked about his ability to cover, based on people I talked to about Campbell's weakness, was that coverage was his weakness. And he has been nothing but absolutely stellar for the Cardinals so far. And it really, if you have to point to one thing that has been the difference maker on this defense, it was having Campbell there next to Hicks instead of the mishmash of out of position guys and journeymen that they had last year and in previous years before that. He has wiped out basically the middle of the defense is strong. They already had great edge play. Now they have competent defensive linemen in the game all the time. And then Buda Baker continues to be just like the 15 tackles in the week one. He's playing so physically. Like the hits he is laying on people are just fierce.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's playing with a lot of confidence, which I think is important, and it's showing consistently. You know, I think one of the guys that we should kind of call out is Lamont Gaillard, who's done a really nice job in his two games. He's been a little penalty heavy, but, you know, I think to see a guy that was a sixth round pick, come in and hold his own against guys like Javon Kinlaw and Daron Payne and Matt Ioannidis and Jonathan Allen in two games is quite impressive. And, you know, it kind of gives you hope that the center position is kind of locked up for the long term. You know, I think this team has a lot of solid role players, which is the key to being a great team. Is you do need superstars, don't get me wrong, but I think you also need guys that keep your team afloat and balance out the team and do it, let's be honest, for cheap, because it's sometimes hard to find guys that can perform, you know, like a Max Williams, you know, or a Lamont Gaillard, you know, at a high level and not be commanding a huge salary. And then I think, you know, getting the production this season from Justin Pugh and DJ Humphreys on the left side, I think that's been really understated, because you haven't seen Nick Bosa or Chase Young. I mean, they have zero sacks combined against the Arizona Cardinals.
Chase had one, but that was Kyler being at the line of scrimmage and going down,
yeah,
and getting touchdown.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, you kind of look at it, they've done a really nice job, and I don't think you can undersell the fact that these guys have really come up big and become consistent players. The final thing I will say is I think Andy Lee has done a really nice job this year, averaging 48.5 yards a punt. He's really done a nice job of letting the coverage guys, especially Trent Sherfield and Andy Isabella, who are, you know, the gunners right now, and they've done a good job of making plays down the field. I think those guys are, you know, I think Andy is one of those guys that's really unsung and underappreciated throughout the fan base. And so, you know, you even look at last game where Aaron Brewer had a horrific snap and Andy picked it up and punted it like it was nothing wrong. And he was in his end zone when he did that. So you have to be excited that you're seeing this team play well on all phases and consistently.
Coming up next on the Rise FC Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. We're going to talk about the final segment. We're going to look ahead to the Detroit Lions. The Cardinals play them this weekend. What can we look forward to? Our preview and our predictions. That's coming up next on Rise FC Red. We're back on the Rise FC Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk about the Detroit Lions, an 0-2 team that has gotten a lead in both games. They're up 23-6 in week one. That disappeared and they lost. They were up 14-3 against the Packers, who then piled it on and won 42-21. They've given up 56 second half points this season. Their defense, you know, what, Aaron Jones had 168 rushing yards and two touchdowns and 68 receiving yards and a touchdown. They have been, the defensively, they look bad. And they get Matthew Stafford back, and Matthew Patricia, their coach, you're just wondering, what is happening, and how is he still on? How is he still have a job? What can we look forward to? What are the strengths and weaknesses of this Lions team?
You know, it'll be interesting this week, because they do get back Kenny Golladay, who's one of the best receivers in the NFL. So, you know, you kind of talked about it a little bit. Patrick will have to be on his toes all week, because this is, you know, a team or a player that is one of the best at his, you know, positions in the league. It's really interesting, man, because I did not expect this team to be this bad. And, you know, I think that's what you get when you hire a coach like a Matt Patricia and you say, you know, fix this defense. And then you spend so much time and energy and money trying to fix the defense. And in turn, the offense is fine. I don't really understand how they built, if I'm being completely honest, but the defense has just not been what anybody expected it to be with all of the money and draft picks invested on that side of the ball. And you just look at you know, they were without Jeff Okuda in their first game. He played against the Packers. He was really, really bad. You know, in his first game, and he's a rookie going up against Davante Adams and his assignment doesn't get any easier. Right. And so I think the biggest thing to me is I'm shocked at how bad their run defense is. I didn't expect that. Again, I think you go into things with when you hire a coach and you go, oh, okay, well, Matt Patricia, he was a really good DC in New England. But, I mean, they're literally giving up 6.5 yards per carry. Obviously worst in the NFL. I don't see how they're going to be able to stop the Arizona Cardinals, especially a running game that's averaging 170 yards a game, over 5 yards per carry, against two of the better defensive fronts in the NFL. So I think this is a game where you can see the Cardinals probably kind of put everything together. Man, they just give up so many yards on defense. It's incredible. I think it's going to be tougher offensively or defensively for the Cardinals this week. Like I said, I like their players. I don't know if I necessarily understand that they're building. You know, you look at it, they drafted Kerryon Johnson, I think it was 2 years ago, two or three years ago. And then they drafted DeAndre Swift. Okay, both. I mean, I guess I can kind of understand investing.
But then they signed Adrian Peterson.
Right, and so then you go sign Adrian Peterson, and then you kind of look at it and you go, okay, well, who's playing the most? And you're playing them all close to the same. DeAndre Swift has the most total snaps at 54. He's playing, you know, a little over a third of the snaps. That's incredible. Kerryon Johnson's played, you know, 39. Adrian Peterson's played 39. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. We'll see how this goes this week. I expect Taylor Decker's a nice player at left tackle. He's going to have his hands full with Chandler Jones. Frank Ragnow is a good center, kind of a really good fit in the middle. You would expect with, like I said, with the way they've invested along the offensive line in the running back positions, the only place they really haven't spent money or value is the receivers. And they got Marvin Jones for cheap, and they have Kenny Golladay. So you kind of understand why they haven't invested. I guess you can say they invested in TJ Hockenson. He was drafted 8th overall, but it's crazy to see a team with kind of a, what you would say from the way they built is an identity, and see them just be so bad at that identity. I mean, they run the ball okay. I mean, they're 12th in the league in yards per attempt, but they only have the 18th most rushing yards in the league and only the 23rd most attempts. And that's because they don't play from ahead at all. It's just, you know, and Matt Stafford, I think he's in his 30s now, isn't he? He's get 32. He's, you know, his completion percentage is below 60% this year. it's going to be a really interesting game because I think that they're going to put up points just fine. You know, I'm not saying that the Cardinals are going to get, you know, get into a shootout where they're going to allow 30 points, but I think that they're going to be able to score, you know, 20 to 25 points in this game. I think that the Cardinals are going to kind of explode offensively this game, and they're going to be able to put up 30 plus points in this game and really probably put up over 500 yards of total offense.
I'd like to see that defensively. It's just been a struggle for Detroit. And you get game three, you're playing at home. And on top of that, you're going to add a little bit of juice to the crowd because the Cardinals players, they're going to have up to 750 people that are close friends and family to the players, coaches, and staff. So you're going to add a little bit of juice to that, to the stadium. They continue to have the advantage in terms of continuity and personnel overall, and definitely in talent upgrades. But yeah, it's as bad as this defense has been for Detroit, I think we're going to see this. I think, you know, Kenyon Drake has been fine. And if you look at the Cardinals running the ball early in the year last year, that's kind of how things went. They either didn't run the ball or found some struggles. And even Kenyon Drake's games when he came in, he had the big game and then he had some games. What he had on Sunday was a very good running back game because he got better as the game went on and made plays. He got to the 20 carries, 86 yards, became the workhorse. He might have one of those. I think this is the one where he might bust one or two runs, or Chase will bust one or two runs, and it'll really boost up the rushing yards, and that the passing game will open up a little bit more. Then maybe it won't just be DeAndre. I think Christian Kirk will probably be able to be more involved this week, as if he's not hurt. But yeah, I have this game pegged as a 34-20 win for the Cardinals. And I don't think it's going to be necessarily even that close on paper. Like, on paper, it's a 2-touchdown win, but it's probably one of those games where they get ahead and then Detroit scores a garbage time touchdown at the end of the game to make it a 2-touchdown game.
Yeah, and I think it'll be something like 35-24. I think we're on the same page. We hate the idea of this team being the favorites because it's just not something
feels
that
weird. It feels weird.
It's just not something we've seen since the Arians era. And then I think they were only favored once all of last season. And I think it was once in the Rosen's, you know, Steve Wilkes and Josh Rosen season. And so to have them be touchdown favorites in back-to-back weeks. I know the lines move since the Kenny Golladay will play thing has come about, but it's moved in the sense that, oh, like Jess said, you'll probably get a garbage time touchdown that takes you to from, you know, a 13-point lead to a 6-point lead. And now all of a sudden, you know, you've got that cover. It'll be interesting to see. You know, you and I, whenever we predict shootouts, they go the opposite way. But I think that'll be what happens.
And with that, let's wrap this edition up. We've been going good so far. We're 2-0. And that'll end this edition of the Rise of Seabird podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We'll be back next week, hopefully talking about a big Cardinals win with more optimism. Because guess what? It's so much better to talk about Cardinals when they're good. Especially when they're good and promising for the future. And that's what this team looks like right now. On behalf of the Rise of Seabird podcast, that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. Go Cardinals. We'll be back again next week.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.